Good morning. I'm Kevin Vance with a couple of local news stories. California prison officials unleashed a, quote, public health disaster, unquote, that led to thousands of prisoners being infected and 28 dying. That's according to a state inspector general report released yesterday. KLW's Ben Trefney has more.
The report provided new details on last spring's catastrophic decision to move inmates from the California Institution for Men east of Los Angeles to San Quentin State Prison north of San Francisco. The inmates were put onto buses for the more than 400-mile trip, and the tight quarters increased the risk of infection spreading. The inspector general found that pressure to meet self-imposed deadlines led authorities to ignore warnings from health officials, and outdated tests failed to detect that some of the transferred inmates already were infected. Numerous officials with the State Corrections Department and the Office of the Federal Court-Appointed Receiver who oversees prison medical care knew the tests were too old to be valid, according to the report. Yet emails show a healthcare executive at the Southern California prison, quote, explicitly ordered that the incarcerated persons not be retested the day before the transfers began, unquote. Corrections officials and the receiver's office issued a joint statement saying the transfers were well-intentioned and based on risk analysis that comported with what was known about the virus in May. The decision to move inmates from the Southern California prison came while an outbreak was sweeping through the facility, sickening more than 650 inmates and 55 staff. In their concern for the vulnerable inmates, the report says executives kept a tight deadline for the transfers. Emails show the resulting pressure led to officials at the Southern California prison ignoring healthcare concerns that 172 of the 189 inmates had not been tested for the virus in at least 2 weeks. Most went to San Quentin, the rest to California State Prison Corcoran in the Central Valley. Officials compounded the error with more missteps, including untimely temperature screenings, overcrowded bus transfers, ignored symptoms, and housing in spaces where the virus could easily spread. All told, 91 of the 122 inmates sent to San Quentin became infected, and two died. By the end of August, in a place where there had previously been no cases, 2,237 inmates and 277 employees at the facility were infected, and 28 inmates and one correctional officer had died. Since then, the officials have increased testing, quarantines, and the use of personal protective equipment, noting there have been no recent outbreaks traced to transfers between prisons. But as of yesterday, there were more than 2,200 active inmate cases and nearly 1,200 employee cases in the state prison system. For KALW News, I'm Ben Trefney.
And a quick follow-up note, KLW operates audio journalism training programs at San Quentin and Solano State Prisons. Famous private eye Jack Palladino has died days after he hit his head as a couple of would-be robbers tried to grab his camera outside his San Francisco home. His attorney confirmed yesterday that the 76-year-old died after suffering a devastating brain injury on Thursday. Palladino was hired for high-profile investigations ranging from the Jonestown massacre suicides to celebrity and political scandals, among those involving former President Bill Clinton as well as musician Courtney Love. The photos Palladino took before his attackers left were used by police to track down two suspects. California lawmakers are proposing to create an online portal where sexual assault survivors can track the status of evidence related to their case, Cap Radio's Nicole Nixon reports.
State Senator Connie Leyva is determined to cut down on a backlog of untested rape kits. That's why she's running a bill that would track a kit's journey from the hospital to the crime lab.
This bill will empower survivors and help them to regain a sense of control.
Leyva says requiring law enforcement to upload data to a state-run website would compel them to test their kits more quickly. Joanne Archambault with End Violence Against Women International says she supports the legislation, but she says the status of a rape kit is just one part of an assault case.
It doesn't tell them anything about how that is going to impact the investigation or what's being done with the investigation.
She says victims should also be kept in the loop about other DNA evidence that may have been collected from clothing or bedding. In Sacramento, I'm Nicole Nixon.
Crews are working to determine whether they can rebuild a section of scenic roadway near Big Sur after it collapsed in torrential rain last week. Officials are saying the damage isn't that bad as the 2017 landslide that cut off tourist destination for over a year. But if you do a little search for drone footage, that piece of roadway is definitely not navigable. You cannot drive over it. It is pretty gap-worthy. Crews are cleaning debris piles and stabilizing damaged sections of roadway. The winding highway is a popular driving route known for its ocean views.